Halloween, Alaska isn't really a place. Maybe it's more of a state of mind, a mood. At any rate, it's the name of a pop group from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Their new CD caught our attention, particularly now in mid-October, as pumpkins start cropping up on suburban porches and the leaves start to take on color. Somehow their evocative sound fits the bittersweet change of the seasons.
Don't give the end away. I haven't seen a thing all winter.
Too Tall to Hide is the name of the CD by Halloween Alaska. James Deers sings and plays guitar with the group, and a gentleman who simply calls himself Ev plays keyboards. They join us now from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. James, welcome.
Thank you, Brian.
And Ev, nice to talk with you.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Let me start out by asking the obvious question, James. What is the name of your group all about? It's Halloween Alaska is not on the map, is it?
It is not. And we've, I guess, maybe looked at a couple of maps to make sure, but no. David King, our drummer, came up with the name just as something that was sort of evocative of sort of the palette that he had in mind for the group.
Now, you did spend some time in Alaska as a child, I understand. You have some deep-rooted memories that come out in this music?
I guess maybe in a very indirect way. I was quite young, 5 or 6 years old. Spent a couple summers there, and as a landlocked Midwesterner for most of my life, it was kind of my first chance to sort of interface with the ocean and very remote places. So yeah, in that regard, it was influential.
Ev, you are the keyboard player for the group, and you're described in the press material, at least, as the sound architect who provides the glue. There isn't a producer listed on the CD, so do you fill that function as well?
I would be hesitant to say that, though in probably the strictest old-school sense of the word producer, you could say so. I make sure every note is exactly right during all the editing of the songs and all that kind of stuff, but that's just as much an engineer, I think, in the role of this band. I think the band's gestalt is actually the producer more than anything else.
Yeah, so you don't get paid extra then.
I wish I did.
Hey, wait a minute. So that's what that was. You said you were reimbursing yourself for some lunch, but now I...
The band has released 2 CDs so far, and on each you've done an interesting cover. On the first CD, you did a version of Bruce Springsteen's song State Trooper. Let's hear a little bit of that original, and then let's hear what you did with it.
New Jersey Turnpike, riding on a wet night, neath the refinery's blue, out where the great black river's blue.
Okay, now let's hear the Halloween Alaska version of that song.
Maybe you got a kid. Maybe you got a pretty wife. The only thing that I've got been bothering me my whole life.
So how did you get at the essence of the Springsteen song and put your own stamp on it? James, let me toss that to you.
David and I had some conversations about that album, being just fans of it. Nebraska is the name of the Springsteen record that track comes from. And it's all really sparse, just him doing these solo acoustic songs that come off, kind of like folk songs.
Right, Woody Guthrie, songs. I guess, is one of his inspirations for that.
Sure, yeah. And among those songs on that album, that one in particular has this sort of solitary motif, and the Springsteen version is kind of monochromatic in a way. I mean, it works, and it's great. What we did with it is a little bit more of kind of a building, kind of a crescendoing arc to it.
Mind gets hazy.
people seemed to respond to it, whether they had any real allegiance to the original or not. You know, we're not trying to correct anybody's work, of course, and you know,
I think
he is the boss, you know, after all.
All right, well, let me move on to the next, the other interpretation I wanted to talk about. On the new CD, you cover a song from LL Cool J, I Can't Live Without My Radio. Here's the original.
That particular album, LL Cool J's first album, you know, this phenomenon of guys, you know, 1985 or whatever, with huge boombox, you know, the size of a suitcase, and this public aspect to some of that music, how, you know, a big part of the allure, I think, for a lot of kids and people when that music was first breaking big, was that there was this aspect to it where you might run into somebody out on the street just saying, you know, hey, this is my effing music, you know, and check it out. My radio, believe me, I like it loud. I'm the man with the box that can rock the crowd. This cover came about sort of sideways. I was revisiting this song, and it's such a different culture now, sort of more of an iPod generation where things have become a little bit more insular. You know, you can sort of tailor these customized bubbles for yourself, you know, where you just kind of have your playlist and your thing, and you just kind of go about your business. My story is rough, my neighborhood is tough, but I still sport gold and I'm out to crush. My name is Cool J, I devastate the show, but I couldn't survive without my radio. On this CD, Too Tall to Hide, actually it's an enhanced CD. You can put it into your computer. There's a little video that pops up that talks about the group and the song lyrics. And you've also put instrumental MP3s of the song, so just without the lyrics. How do you think fans will actually make use of all of those elements?
Karaoke, Howling in Alaska, would be hilarious, actually. I'd love to see a video of that.
Yeah. I mean, my attitude about it, I mean, I ask myself the same question with certain songs, like why would they bother? But I mean, I think, you know, any number of things can come out of it. I think certain pieces of music, if you listen without the vocal, you might hear some stuff that you didn't notice, how just instruments or how the band is relating to each other. I think also, too, just, and again, this is keying off of like what has gone on in hip hop for a long time, you know, having the ability to, you know, put alternate vocals over this, you know, this music, or to use it in sort of a mashup or kind of remixing context. I think it's just, you know, repurposing it or tweaking it with a different vocal, or that's, you know, a cool bonus, I guess.
Yeah, but for real, what we need to do is yank that guitar. This tune is so... He's Easter. Getting a great acoustic guitar. We're going to use that for forever.
There's also a little behind-the-scenes look of the making of the CD, and apparently you had some climate control problems in the studio. How did that affect the mood of what actually turned out?
Have you been to a sauna, Brian? I hope that's not a personal question. No. I mean, it was very...
I was used to it, so it didn't really bump, you know, his bother me so much.
His body chemistry actually changed. He became sort of like a lizard. You became
an
that's
iguana
that was that that was my life for 4 years, pretty much, in that very, very, very hot space. We did get into some pretty constructive arguments as a result of that, but
edgy moments. I would invite any band to just, you know, in their studio wherever they're working, just put a few space heaters around, just keep it at an uncomfortable 92 or so, and just. Yeah. Work for a while.
Make you work
goes.
Faster a little, huh?
Maybe.
James Dears and Ev from the group Howling in Alaska. Their new CD, Too Tall to Hide, is on East Side Digital Records. They joined us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. Thanks very much to both.
Thanks a lot,
Thank
Brian.
You very much.
There are full audio cuts and more on our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Brian Naylor.